You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for the reasons that we're here and drawing us all here, and ask that you be with us today as we talk and as we listen for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is about fellowship and gathering, and first let me just kind of address what for some people may be an elephant in the room. So ultimately, we talk about fellowship and gathering in this context. We talk about the church, or a church, or this church, or whatever. And the point of this is not to rush everyone up for the Advent and to say the Advent is perfect and does all of these things that we're talking about. There's lots of you don't have to go far to see that the church is imperfect. It's made up of imperfect people, and there's some very public examples of churches that were very toxic. So this is not an apologetic for the church or a church or this church. Or to say that those things don't exist, but there's some really interesting things written about the church. I'll just read one of them. Bishop Will Williman, who's preached here, he's a Methodist bishop. He's retired now. Also, he was a professor, I believe. He's a very very neat and learned person to hear. But he was in an interview asked if the church is getting worse. And he said, if you didn't read the assignments in Church History 101, because he was speaking to students, or if you've never heard St. Paul, rip into one of his congregations, you may be tempted to think that the church is worse off today than in previous ages. We shouldn't flatter ourselves. The church's present sin is not that original. After we crucified the Son of God, well, all subsequent sin has been unimpressive. The church is a mess and always has been. The bride sleeps around, unfaithful from the first. Read Paul's letters. Blame the moral mess of this church, ancient and present, on Jesus. When Jesus decided to save sinners, only sinners, saving them by convening them as his body, well, no wonder the church is a mess. I look at the present state of the UMC and lament. Yet, by the grace of God, I'm reminded that we are no better nor no worse than the ragtag saints who came before us, no less recipients of God's mercy, all dependent upon a God who loves sinners, including his poor, battered, compromised bride, the church. So, anyway, so when we come together and gather, we gather as imperfect people. And so what this discussion is really about is what God is calling us to do when we gather and fellowship. So it's not nothing more, nothing less. So really, it's just doing together all the things we've talked about in this class. So the first thing Craig talked about, the gospel. So we proclaim and hear together the gospel over and over. I mean, some people, we kind of have a reputation here that you hear the same thing every Sunday in every service, and that's intentional. I need to hear the same thing over and over every Sunday. Then we have the opportunity, encouragement, and structure for repentance. The second session was on repentance and faith. So, and most importantly, the end of that repentance is forgiveness. So the forgiveness of God, it's not the forgiveness of the church, it's the forgiveness of God, but it's mediated publicly through the repentance, the confession and repentance that we do every Sunday, every service here. And then the creation and deepening of our faith. And then we talked about baptism and communion, so it's obviously the place where baptism and communion, those sacraments, are administered and received. And then we talked about prayer, and it's a place for this community, whether it's worship or other aspects. There's always prayer, whether it's two people or 200 people. So that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about meeting together as a community to do all the things that are important to us, and that we've talked about in this room. So, a couple of scripture passages: Matthew 18. And if I had asked you to go back in the dark recesses of your mind and say, "I wonder what scripture we're going to read," you probably wouldn't, as I didn't, know it was Matthew 18, but you would have probably guessed that it had these words. So this is Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Right? We've all heard that. That is richer than it sounds. It talks about who God is, you know, the fact that He is omnipotent and omnipresent, so He can be here with us as we gather. And it also talks about His care for Christian fellowship, because when it doesn't mean He's not with us when we're by ourselves, obviously, but it means that there's a special presence that He gives when we are gathered in His name. And that also harkens back to, apparently, the rabbinic kind of tradition of having, you know, a rabbi teaching another person, and how there was a tradition in the Jewish kind of rabbinic law that there was a special presence of God when one was teaching and one was learning in that context. So Jesus is really bringing that forward and kind of cutting the barrier away and saying, "I am with you directly when you get together with another person and kind of invoke my presence and you're in a community in my name." The second scripture, Hebrews 10. In these Bibles, it's on page 584, verses 23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we are holding fast, keeping at the center of everything, our confession, which is the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of hope. So it's about our hope. Without wavering, for He who's promised is faithful. So we're dependent upon and rely on the hope of God who is faithful. And we're stirring up one another to love and good works. So this is a matter of encouragement in the faith. And then it says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the day, of course, is the day of Jesus' return, which of course back then many thought was imminent. But really what this is about is the urgency of it all for us. This is not something that we just kind of, "Oh well, I'll think about it tomorrow." It's the urgency of it because it's important. And this, like lots of scripture, you know, We go to it almost immediately as prescriptive, kind of if then. If you do, you know, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. But this is really prescriptive. This is descriptive of what Christians are called to do, and what in the inspiration and movement of the Holy Spirit we do and benefit from. So this is not, you know, get yourself in church. This is you know, great things happen in community, and when we encourage one another, we are encouraged, and so that's what we're talking about, and that's what this writer is saying. So why do we need the community? You know, why can't we just read or you know, watch it on TV, or whatever, go fishing at a pretty place or play golf. So what we hear together, this is a statement, but also a question as to whether it does apply to you. What we hear together and do, when we hear and do the gospel together in community, we are hearing and being empowered to do something that we don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about that a little more below, but the message of the gospel is not something that you're going to get, you know, absent a Christian community, or at least hearing it in a Christian context, because it's just not. That's not necessarily a condemnation of good podcasts or anything else. It's just different. And to the extent that it is empowering and encouraging and powerful, which we believe that the gospel is powerful. It has its own power. It does things in our lives, absent anything we could do for ourselves. Then the fact that we gather and hear it makes a difference. So, you know, my prayer for people close to me is that they will be drawn to go to church. Really, wherever they're drawn to go, because they'll hear something there that they don't hear other places. So that's it's not, you know, it's not judgment. It's not you know, you're going to hell. It's you get something there that's important that you don't get anywhere else in a community of people who are listening to, hearing, and called to do everything that you're called to do. So where do we do this? Anyway, let me stop there. There's a lot that I've said. Is any comments on that? The scripture, the importance of gathering. Any comments or personal reflections? Feel free to interrupt me. So how does this look? Well, here, obviously, we gather for worship, and that's important, and it's always been important to me because, and it's one of the reasons that I was drawn to a liturgical church later in, I mean, you know, as I was kind of in college or whatever, because a lot of times, just being with other people who are doing the same thing I'm doing, in kind of deference and submission to a higher power who loves me, I didn't really have to know them or speak to them even. Sometimes I didn't want to. But the fact that I was together doing something and that we had a common faith and a common allegiance to the creator of the universe, you know, really was helpful to me. And I think that, you know, the liturgy is helpful too, because we're all saying, I thought about this morning in church, we're all saying the same words. And even if I don't know the person next to me, or even if I don't know that they mean them or whatever, and it's not my position to judge whether they mean them or not, but we're all saying the same thing. And what we're saying, is so enriching to me. I mean, I saw somebody this morning in our service who is having some Alzheimer's dementia issues, and this person was just tracking the prayers. And I thought the community that he's been in for his entire life has got to be comforting to him in this situation. And he's just internalized all of those. And he may not know anymore who he's sitting next to, but it's important for him to be in this community and continue to be in this community. It's important for us to encourage him in this community. So anyway, we have different worship services, obviously. So if you obviously, the refectory service is just by its nature a little more interactive. So some people would rather go to the 7:30 service and sit about three pews away from any other person, but just know that they're hearing the gospel together. And you know, I was there, and you know, I've lived in other places where don't be inviting me to coffee. Just let me be here. But that's still a community. So I think it's important to realize that that's all community, and providing that community. When we do that for each other, we don't know where everybody else is. But it's important to be around. And I'll talk a lot more about this in a little bit. I'll really press on it. But it's important to be around people who in some macro sense are really going through what we're going through, and they're relying on, even if it's begrudgingly or subconsciously, relying on the faith to get through it.
If I may just add to that,
yeah.
Thank you for letting me do that.
Well, you it was hard to see, but no, your hand. It was hard to see your hand. Okay. But go ahead.
Leslie, who can't be here this morning, but Leslie and I, when we joined, we didn't have kids, and then we have leaned in here at Advent. At first, this was a compromise place for us to come, but we chose to lean in, and we joined a small group, and now we lead a small group with the Hunters. But we found community here, which has aided us not just in the worship, but in our lives. And I think about your life as Cave Table Road, back when you're at home in your cave, how you live there, or how you fellowship at the table, or where you go on the road. The life group and the relationships that we've gained here have really impacted every aspect of our lives. And when we've needed help, both prayer help and also just a meal, there has been an inordinate amount of support in the church for every aspect, and that's both spiritual. And what I really have liked about this church is that it has, I've been in a denomination that is very theologically sound, but didn't give a lot of room to breathe out in and out and have free thinking in that. Advent has given that room to sort of grow and breathe. But it's given you the structure from within to do that. But I've had some pretty crazy conversations about spirituality and stuff, and nobody has ever called me crazy. They call me crazy about other things, but I'd just say that's the testimonial on community and how important it is here.
Thanks, Marshall. Anybody else?
Stephen, I was going to say just real quickly. Last week, Chad Bird spoke, and he said that he just lost his son about a year ago. And he said there were times when he would be in church, he couldn't sing, and he couldn't pray, and he couldn't speak hardly because he was so overwhelmed. He said, but I felt my brothers and sisters in Christ lifting me up, even though they didn't know they were doing that, but just continuing to pray and to, you know, just say what goes on in the church. And he said that was so helpful for him, and he, you know, will be at some point where he can do that for others. He's getting better. But anyway, I just thought that was a testament to the community.
Yeah. Well, feel free to jump in. Just wave big so I'll see it. So, you know, in addition to worship, and of course we do regular services, we do special services, we do evensong, we really try to put the gospel in front in front of all of that, and not just be a concert or a a self-help group or whatever, try to integrate you know the good news with everything. We have obviously Christian Ed, and thank you for being here. And please listen to Jonah Limbaugh or all these people that you're not hearing when you're listening to me. So because there's a lot of good stuff, and for the kids and everything else on Christian Ed, small groups obviously, and you know they are really the place to dig down in community. And so encourage, you know, we always encourage people to think about that, you know, again, not to be intimidating, but you know, there are all sorts of levels of ways to engage with that. We have community outreach work and service, and Adam who led the class last week, that's all kind of under him, and he's really with the help of a group of people trying to really identify ways that this community, as a community, can impact our wider community, and just ways that we care for other members, you know, the pastoral care element, and all of these subsets have ways that people can plug in and serve, which is kind of taking that to one more level. And again, this is not something you have to do. This is something that if you feel called to do, whether it's being an acolyte or an usher or working with outreach or attending, leading a small group, whatever. These are all things that you know we encourage people to discern a call to get involved in. So the last. Kind of section of this, I kind of want to lean into what does a community that is grounded in the gospel and the proclamation and hearing and of the gospel look like, and I would encourage. I found the Willman quote. In an article on this website, Mockingbird, which I would commend to everybody. It's just mbird.com is what it's called. And David Zoll, who's the son of Paul Zoll, who was a dean here and now attends and preached several weeks ago, he is in Charlottesville, Virginia, and at a church there. And he has led a Sunday school class recently that's called... Things You Won't Hear Anywhere Else But Church. And and he's posted essays or articles for each one of those classes. And I'm gonna read the titles of those classes and stay with me because it's a little jarring. But so these are things that you won't hear anywhere else but church. Advertise Your Hypocrisy. Blame Belongs to the Blame Shifters. Pray for a Nervous Breakdown. Blessed Are the Type Bs. Doormats Are Holy. Hug a Telemarketer. Your Life Is None of Your Business. So the common theme on all those, if you'll stay with me, is an acknowledgement of what he also calls and has written a book called Low Anthropology. So the idea that we are all kind of a mess, we're all fallen, we're all broken, we for good reasons, make every effort to present ourselves as less that way as we can to the world. But the byproduct of that is that we tend to be judgmental and hypocritical of others because we are shielding who we are and in favor of identifying the faults of others. And that is a block to really our moving forward as broken but forgiven people. And so the church is a place and a community that again, not none of these are good things on their own, but the fact that the church is a place where we can be called to identify our brokenness, acknowledge the brokenness of others, accept others as broken people, just like we are, and be accepted as a broken person, and lean into God's one-way love and forgiveness. There's a vulnerability there that's important, and you're just not going to get that anywhere else. That's not a gospel-believing place. So,
even if you heard it or read it somewhere else, experiencing it with
yes,
community,
yes,
with somebody else,
you're mediating.
It's real, you receive it and give it.
Yeah, and it's God's grace, and it's only from God.
One of the things when you were reading some of the titles there,
yeah,
it seems they discuss these things. It seems like there may be exercises in realizing you need to have some humility, lower yourself. What was that you said about? There was one thing you said that there at the end of reading that, and I can't remember what it was, but.
The last one was, your life is none of your business.
No.
Your life is not your business.
It was,
okay.
God, it was before.
Okay.
But recognizing, like the telemarketer.
Yeah.
All right. I called one and apologized one time. I'm serious. I think I made him cry. and he was very appreciative of that. I mean, think about these people. They have this job. They're usually in another land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're probably not making any money whatsoever, enough to maybe, you know, buy something, a loaf of bread or something for their family. And they've got an American who is so domineering. And, and you know, I really think the man was in tears. He was young, you know, and I called him back and I apologized. I got him too. And it was, you know, praise God. You have to be, it kind of teaches you, you need to be humble when you start thinking about things like that. You've got to remember other people and their feelings.
Well, and yeah, it's easier for you to be humble when you realize that other people aren't humble. And again, there's not a place out there, or there's not a context out there that I know of, other than the gospel, that really allows you to do that, to be vulnerable. And kind of sit there and let God forgive you and God change you. And the fact, as Pete said, that the church mediates that, it's God's grace, but on a good day with the Holy Spirit, we as a community can mediate that to others. And no church does it well, and we, including us, but no one else does it at all. So that's and it can only be done in a community that's grounded in the gospel and that gathers to encourage one another in the gospel so that this vulnerability can happen, the dependence on Christ and His work can happen, really the acceptance of God's love and forgiveness can happen. That's why, you know, we're a one song church, a one trick pony here, the rest is God's work in us, but I have to hear the gospel and be in constant dependence and repentance, to open up for the gospel to be heard and received and really for any improvement to take place because it's God's work. So, absolutely.
But when, okay, this is like a recurring thing. It's like we're being taught, we're about the gospel. We're about the gospel. We're about the gospel. That's what we're hearing from these. But isn't the gospel everything that's written in really the whole Bible?
It
all relates together. Yeah. So really, we're about the Bible.
Right. Absolutely. And I think when I say that, I say it in thanksgiving for the fact that the perspective that we've gotten for years is that it is the whole Bible, but it is It is the acknowledgement that the story of Scripture is really one story. And the inspired context of it is that we hear it from so many places and in so many stories. And, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit and our clergy, we were able to draw out from the oddest places and the most imperfect people who are our heroes, how God worked in their lives, despite themselves, to improve them and also get His word out and make, you know, and execute the story of salvation from the first to the end. And so the fact that we're hearing that doesn't mean that we're, you know, we got three Bible verses that we keep reading. It means that everything that we read is through the lens of the overarching story.
Mm-hmm. And even those in the Old Testament, we get shades of the life of Christ to come and the good news.
Absolutely, you're right. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
The new covenant.
And you know, a reading of those stories that says we should be like those people. Well, they clearly haven't read the details of those stories, because those people did some really bad things.
Yes.
But they were in the line of the story of salvation. And you're right. And what we can learn from them is how God doesn't give up on us, because He didn't give up on them. So, but that's one of the things we can learn. So, any other comments? All right, well, let's, I guess we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You work in community, and we ask that You would draw us into community with other believers, and that we would be vulnerable with each other and encourage one another and communicate the gospel to each other. We thank You for the Advent, and we pray always that Your Spirit would enliven us here, along with other places, that we would only by Your help and by Your power be a community of grace and a community of the gospel and a community that depends entirely on Your one-way love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.